Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Some schools in Pennsylvania have already opened their doors just in time to close them again because of the eclipse. But ready or not, the start of the school year, if it hasn't reached your school yet, is right around the corner. What can parents expect? Is this school year going to continue being one great big social experiment and our students will be the guinea pigs? Has it already started? What will your kids be taught about gender, family, marriage, even bathroom shower usage? And you can bet the kindergartners won't be left out of the discussion. My guest today is Linda Harvey. She's president of the Columbus, Ohio-based Mission America. Thanks, Linda, for being with us.
Thanks, Diane, for having me.
So Mission America, how is that going? I mean, as far as America.
Well, America is in grave trouble, as you and I both know. We can look all around us and see the deterioration of the moral fabric that we all grew up believing that we would have some input into this, at least. And it seems to be, at least with public schooling and with so many areas in the culture, parents especially feel frustrated. It's getting away from us, and increasingly people feel powerless.
Yeah.
And so we just have to help each other and equip each other and figure out what we can do.
Absolutely. But unfortunately, we have some parents, like the parents who have children who are quote-unquote transgender. You know, they are actually pushing the agenda within their students, their child's classroom. So we also have that, where liberal parents have a greater voice, even though it may be one parent or one set of parents. They have a greater voice than those who hold the view that the vast majority of Americans hold, that when you're born, you're a boy or a girl, except in very, 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 very few cases where there's some ambiguity there. So definitely there is frustration and increased frustration, even more so on this issue than the homosexual issue, because it's so blatant. It's so like, you're telling my child what? So anyway, but the advocates for social change are gearing up for this new school year. I don't know if school started there in Ohio yet or not, but some schools here in PA have started. They're targeting our impressionable children, which has been, I think, their goal is to convince the younger generation that they are right, that these activists are right in this. Their goal is to win the culture war that way up, is my thought. It's just very troubling that our kids are the guinea pigs.
It absolutely is.
Yeah. And now on August 8th, you wrote an article for WorldNet Daily, Gender Rebel Schools Pit Kids Against Their Parents. And this starts off talking about the bill that Chris Christie, the governor of New Jersey, signed, a transgender rights bill, which basically is for the schools there in New Jersey. And tell us a little bit about that bill and some of what the components are, because they're like next door to us.
Yes. One of the things that's really disturbing is, I mean, Chris Christie is just... He's way far left on these social issues, and it isn't the first time he's caved to the homosexual and transgender advocates. Well, here we have this sweeping bill where, you know, it's transgender rights in the schools, which means the problem with this is one aspect of this is that the law guarantees confidentiality about a student's gender identity. Well, what that means, folks, is that if a student shows up at school and is cross-dressing at school, and a boy dressing like a girl, but is somehow keeping this from parents at home, that the parents may be kept in the dark while the school will encourage the student to go forward in that confusion. And that is where this agenda is not the only one. The pro-abortion agenda does the same thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, where parents are being, schools are pitting themselves against parents. They're allying themselves in cooperation with these radical social issues, if needed, on the side of the student, and will give private counseling, I'm guessing, and I think that's happening here and there, to encourage these kids, give them the quote-unquote support they need, even if this is the child is in desperate need of counseling and is very psychologically disturbed.
Yeah.
And we know that's generally the case here.
Exactly. And study after study shows that. But do you know if there, I don't think in Minnesota where there's a situation where I believe it was a young boy, the school actually directed him, they declared him, or had the course declare him emancipated and had him actually get prescriptions for the sex hormones, the estrogen and stuff, without his mother's knowledge.
Right.
And Minnesota seems to be a really hotbed for this you know, when I think of Minnesota, I think, well, they should be conservative. They're way up north there where it's cold all the time. But anyway, but that's not the case, especially in the St. Paul, Minneapolis area, the ultra-liberal area of Minnesota. But that it's not just Minnesota. You know, of course, California, of course, all the nuts live in California. Looney Tunes live in California, seems like, although there are many, many conservatives who live in California also, just their legislature is way, way out there. And again, though, is the students, the kids, even as young as kindergarten, who are being used as guinea pigs, as we've seen in a recent story about a kindergarten class in actually a private charter school in California. But this anti-parent stance seems to be becoming a trend across America. And I fear for the kids who go to public school now. It's just, you know, and I think, I don't have any, you know, solid data on this, but schools that have gay straight alliance clubs, which of course pushed homosexuality on the schools, on the students, they're also pushing this transgender issue and this sexual confusion, sexual anarchy on the schools, and
right.
And demanding that schools change their policies at not only sexual orientation but also gender identity or expression to their school board policies and such. You also mentioned an article about the Maryland Department of Education policy, and again, they're next door to us too, just south of
right.
us.
And right, right. Yeah, they say that in some cases, this is their quote from their policy, in some cases notifying parents carries risks for the student, such as being rejected by the family. In other words, notifying parents if they know that a child is gender confused mm-hmm. and is showing signs of that at school. That's the kind of attitude they have. So they're going to side with the student and say, oh my goodness, you know, your parents might not approve of this. Well, yes, that's right.
Yeah.
And
any loving parent would not.
And they all are going to position it as this is a child that might be quote unquote kicked out of their home mm-hmm. or might be physically harmed. That is such an incredible minority of students. And in those cases, of course, then you call in the authorities.
Exactly.
So short of that, the vast majority of schools should assume that parents always act in the best interest of their students. And on this kind of a situation, these are kids who need counseling. They do not need to be affirmed in what is provably a physically mm-hmm. harmful and very compromising lifestyle that may lead them further into self-destructive tendencies and not away from them, which is why I think the rationale they always give is this is going to be suicidal if we don't know. I think the opposite is going to be the case
yeah.
in the long run.
Yeah, and I envisioned down the road, I don't know how far down the road, but I envision a whole host of lawsuits against some of these schools that have pushed children into using sex hormones, you know, sex hormones as well as the puberty blockers and sex reassignment surgery and all that stuff. But I see that happening because something you mentioned suicide a bit ago, but all studies have shown that even those who go through sex reassignment surgery, so-called, they have a much, much higher rate of suicide than those who have not. You know, that it doesn't solve their issue. And when you see schools, and I've been reading through the 144-page Pennsylvania Consolidated Plan, there's a requirement for the ESSA, the Every Student Succeeds Act, which was signed by Obama in December 2015. You know, they talk about the need for, they don't get specific, but as far as sex reassignment surgery and or puberty blockers and such, but they do express the need for, you know, some students need counseling in order for them. Is it the school with unlicensed therapists? Are those ones doing the counseling? Or there's that issue. These schools are becoming more and more involved in social-emotional learning. And that word is throughout this 144-page document. Social-emotional learning, like, okay, schools should not be involved in social-emotional learning. They should be involved in the academics. And as we see the family disintegrate, we see the schools stepping in and the government stepping in. Of course, the schools represent the government, but they're stepping in to replace the family. And
we'll try to.
And well, when you see how well that's going, because they've been trying to do effort for decades, we see how well that's going for them. But it's troubling. I don't know what Ohio, if you've had a chance to read Ohio's, I'm sure Ohio's is out there somewhere, but
I'm sure it is too. And you know, it's a trend that people need to watch out for because what I call it is a mixture of busybody ethics and radical leftist social liberalism that most of these teachers are indoctrinated in. Now, praise God, not all of them. We still have some very sound teachers out there we're trying in the midst of a very difficult situation to, you know, tell the truth and do mm-hmm. the best by their students and
right.
tell parents and keep them in the loop. But still,
I can't imagine the pressure those teachers are under to conform to what's considered as normal now in the public school system. And I don't know if you've heard about the Pine Richland. It's over in Allegheny County. Pine Richland School District was sued by 3 students who, I believe they're all males but identify as female. They actually graduated in June, but in, I think it was 2015, they sued the school because the school passed a policy that required them to use the facilities of their, you know, the gender they are born as. These students sued the school, and the school lost. One of the things that the judge pointed out, and during the hearing, the school admitted this, as well as the attorneys for these 3 students, that the school had been using the student's name. These 3 students, they, you know, their female names that they had chosen, the school had been using that, and they had allowed them to, one of them was even elected prom queen, and all this stuff. So the school had a history of complying with these very confused students' demands until some parents became concerned because their child came home and said there was a their female child came home and said, well, there was a boy in our bathroom. So some students came together and asked the school to pass the policy that restricted student use, you know, bathroom usage and such, and that's when the suit came along. But so to me, Pine Richland made the mistake from the beginning by basically endorsing, yeah, exactly, mm-hmm. these students, and they lost their lawsuit just within the last few weeks, and the students were, each of them were awarded $20,000, as well as the school had to change their policy and blah, blah, blah.
Right. Well, what the schools have decided so often is that they accept the premise that some boys are girls trapped in a boy's body, for instance, and there's no science to back this up.
Exactly.
This is mythology, and we're into Looney Tune time, and this is fables created by the radical left, and such an example of mental illness, and our kids mm-hmm. that have these issues need to be counseled very, very closely and carefully, because there's something going on there.
Yeah.
And you know, they've accepted that, and what people are doing de facto through the bathroom issue is challenging that acceptance of a huge lie,
mm-hmm.
and saying, oh no, you know, boys should go to the bathroom with boys, girls
yeah.
should go to the bathrooms with girls, and schools are sometimes caught in the middle. But what you need to do is, if you got back to science and fact, none of this would be a problem.
Yeah, and you know, we're supposed to be, the conservatives are supposed to be the anti-science group.
Right.
But when it comes, especially global warming, but when it comes to the gender issue and this whole confusion, we're the ones looking at science, and the liberals are ignoring science. Solid science that says sex is not assigned at birth, but there are certain indications that one is a boy or one is a girl.
Right.
But as you're saying, science is being totally thrown under the bus on this issue, and unfortunately, the liberal media is just going hand in hand with the sexual anarchist. And it's just very troubling. I don't know. But you also mentioned, and I didn't write down the name of this article, but that another article that you wrote for World Net Daily, and mm-hmm. that a friend of yours had told you guys about something that happened when they took their son to a family physician for a sports physical. What happened there?
Yeah, there was a situation where it's a teenage boy, and he went for his sports physical, and I think he was driving age, so he went by himself and was asked by the doctor behind closed doors, are you attracted to girls, to boys, or to both?
Mm.
And the really odd thing about this is this was a Muslim doctor, and it was in a family practice that was headed by supposedly a Christian physician,
mm-hmm.
which made it doubly more shocking when the boy came home and, you know, he told the doctor he was attracted to girls,
right.
and came home and told his parents about this, and they were very, very upset with
mm-hmm.
this. But this kind of private sexual counseling is something that is not simply going on. It is recommended by the major pediatric groups, except for the pro-life and pro-family ones that we know of, and,
mm-hmm.
and those are doing us all a wonderful favor
yeah.
by doing what's really best for children and keeping parents in the loop.
American College of Pediatricians.
Pediatricians,
we've had her on several times.
Michelle Fratella, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. yeah.
And so, you know, that's the kind of thing that is being recommended because, again, parents are the enemy. And the assumption is that parents are going to keep you from being who you really mm-hmm. are. And it's not simply abortion and contraceptive counseling, because that's going on
yeah.
behind closed doors if the family physician or pediatrician can get the 14-year-old girl away from mom. Mm-hmm. But it's also this sexual orientation and transgender nonsense that's going on.
Yeah, it's definitely expanded. And I would recommend parents don't leave their son or daughter alone because of the issues. Because I know parents are asked to leave when their son or daughter reaches a certain age, especially daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But now it has expanded to some because they are dealing not just with the abortion issue and contraceptive issue, they're also with the sexual orientation, gender identity issue. Mm-hmm. But parents, don't leave your kids alone.
Yeah, right. Another person wrote to me after this article and said this exact same thing happened to my 13-year-old daughter when the doctor said, Mom, could you step out of the room?
Mm-hmm.
And Mom said, no, I won't. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, more parents need to do that. You know, as we look at the schools and what's going on, surely it's just a few individual activists who are doing this. There are no homosexual organizations that are doing it. No type of organizations pushing this, are there? I mean, it's just activists here and there.
There's no money on this. No, it's GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network, is huge. They've gotten so much into the schools, and they're actively seeking all gender bathrooms. So check that they are, and they're using students to push this.
Wow.
And Gender Spectrum is another one. They're the ones that are the authors of that genderbread person figure that many people have seen.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
Well, here's the kind of stuff they teach. I mean, and they're used as consultants by a lot of the school systems and are the ones that are quoted in a number of these state policies that I just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But here's what the kind of thing they say. Do I have time to read this thing? The kind of nonsense they convey is that when a baby is born, the grown-ups look at its body and say it's a girl or it's a boy, but they may not be right. We only know what a person's gender is when they're old enough to tell us. I mean, think about that. And what I said in this article, when I quoted this, is, you know, think about all the things that are we supposed to wait until they're old enough to tell us, I have 10 fingers?
Mm-hmm.
Things you can see, you know, objectively measurable or factual information of, you know, should we wait to feed them breast milk until they're old enough to say, you know, breast milk would have been a good idea, Mom.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, come on, this is sense.
It is nonsense.
Nonsense.
But as you said, schools are using these lunatics
as
consultants.
Consulting firms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're well-funded. These people have money. They're not just
a
couple of people in Mom's basement somewhere. These are well-funded.
Yeah.
GLSEN is based in New York and has a very large staff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, people should go to GLSEN's website to see just who the sponsors of that organization are. They'd be flabbergasted as to who their sponsors are. And I'm always flabbergasted when I go through and look at their sponsors. I mean, I don't understand. To me, the corporate America is taking over America. Corporate America is trying to, has joined homosexual activists and transgender activists in trying to reshape America. And
they really are.
I mean, you just look at North Carolina and what happened there as far as, you know, an example of.
Well, even in sports, big sports, at the NCAA is supposedly about to introduce legislation. I don't know if this is at the federal level or this is model state legislation, but it sounds like it would be federal, that for universities and colleges that transgender athletes are allowed to compete on the opposite sex team. And they even get an extra couple of semesters to go through any kind of treatment and transition. I mean, so boys, not only do they have 10 semesters, everybody has 10 semesters, they get an extra 2 semesters to be eligible, and the boys get to be on girls' teams.
Yeah.
I mean, this is...
When are the girls going to stand up and say, I mean, I've read articles where there have some female athletes saying, this just isn't fair. And
I think they will, I think we're going to see that. Yeah, hope we do. Yeah.
Hope so. And it's always the guys who are playing on the girls' team or the guys who are wrestling with the girls or boxing with the girls or running with the girls or whatever who beat them out every time because there's no matter what they claim to be, they are still boys. So parents just need to be aware. I mean, I'm just thinking parents just need to be very, very aware of what's going on in their school district, attend school board meetings, have any other advice as to what parents can do?
Just keep very much on top of this. I mean, my overall advice always is if you can possibly get your children out of the public schools, do so. Get them into a Christian school or homeschool them, but I know not everybody can do that. So if they're in the public schools, then you have to be committed to watching this like a hawk.
Yeah.
and asking your kids and going, being ready to go before, you know, before this happens. And, and even proactively, send a letter with your child and have it insisted be put in your in their file that they are not going to be taught any of this. You know, just have it on record, you know, whether they obey it or not. But if it's in your child's file and you have a record, you send it, then this may prevent something.
Falls back on the school, for not adhering to your request. How can folks contact you?
MissionAmerica.com is our website. We have a radio show that goes all over Ohio as well, but information about all that is on our website.
Okay, and you're a regular contributor to WorldNet Daily?
Right, so. And you can get me there every Tuesday night, and Wednesday is my column.
Okay, that's your day. Okay, thanks so much, Linda, and I do encourage folks to go to MissionAmerica.com and keep an eye out for her columns on WorldNet Daily, WND.com. So you take care. And
thank you.
Keep up the good work.
You too, Diane. Thanks so much.
Okay. Talk to you later.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.